Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, darling, and I'm kind of in and out now because the team's going to come in, so when they're going to come in, I'm not fully here. I'm kind of here, but not here. Tonight's show, wow. Okay. The Shadow Course continues, how the addiction to fear leads to rage. And this show, I'm hoping, is a real breakthrough for everybody. I really see it as the beginning of freedom and a kind of an understanding of how we develop a physiological addiction to adrenaline that sets up the cycle of fear and rage that have kept us locked in the third dimension. And the team is going to come in after I tell my story. I'm going to ask for no calls tonight, please. Please, because this is big. And I'm going to do some sharing tonight. Some of it sounds incredibly dramatic. Some of it won't be pretty. But you guys who've been listening for a long time already know this. And so tonight's dedication is to breaking the hold of fear on the planet. I also would like to add a dedication for gratitude to all of those on the other side of the veil that are working so diligently to help us move through all of this. And they are tireless. They are amazing. They are wonderful. They're funny. God knows that we give them a lot to laugh about.
And my guides laugh so much sometimes. They love our antics.
Exactly. And so again, my heartfelt gratitude to all of them. They are amazing. And there are a lot of beings who crossed over that are working together. I mean, nothing is separate. So we've got everybody working together over there. And over there is just a, you know, as Josh Groban would say, a breath away. So tonight I'm going to tell my rage story because I was bragging last week about how I was feeling so peaceful and wonderful after all this energy coming through. And after the show, at some point after the show, my son's car was stolen. And in our driveway, and whoever stole it, which I will tell you later, actually came into my home, took his keys, my home keys, the keys to his, he's in property management, so these are the keys to about, I don't know, 200 and something units, the master keys. I didn't find out. We all missed it. I got up and walked the dogs the next morning and, you know, opened the garage door, didn't notice. My son went out looking for the dogs because I'd misplaced them, but they weren't out in front. And he missed it until he went to run to yoga and went out the door with all of his stuff, and there was no car. And, you know, we searched our minds trying to understand how anybody got in the house, and we came to the conclusion that we're not totally certain, but he came home early. I came downstairs. I was in bed from a date. We wanted to chat about his date, and he was going to watch a TV program, then go back out. And the night life here in Las Vegas starts quite late, and fell asleep on the couch. So the good possibility that the front door wasn't locked. But nevertheless, it was too coincidental, and, you know, but it sent me into rage. Not that the car was stolen, because that was really no big deal, okay? I, you know, as a matter of course of life, if something like that happens, it happens. I'm not used to anything penetrating, you know, my safety and magic, so that, you know, but the fact that they came into the house truly bothered me. The fact that we were safe thrilled me. I'm absolutely convinced, although I cannot prove it, that his father took the car. And And that enraged me. And especially since 22 years ago, he did the same thing to me. He stole my car. And, of course, cars represent power. And unfortunately, it's nothing I can prove. Okay? And, but it set me into, and, of course, we changed all the locks on the house and had to change all the locks at the property that my son managed. And, of course, there was a police report, and we have insurance, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, it was a matter of we couldn't really say anything. It was such a bizarre experience. The keys were visible. As soon as you walked in the front door, they were right on a landing, so you couldn't have missed them if you came right in the door. But it set me into, and I was actually thrilled that I hit rage, and I hit rage. I hit rage. So next time I say how, you know, I'm just doing fine. And
so what did you do, Jackie? Did you yell or what did you do?
Oh, I pretty much turned into a truck driver. I was coming up with mental swear words that were unbelievable. And what was amazing is that I would do sessions. The team would calm me down. It was so amazing to me that the sessions were phenomenal, loving and beautiful and wonderful. Sometimes they'd have to say, just a moment, let us calm her down, boom, boom, boom. They'd calm me down, get me out of the way, do the fabulous session. I'd come out of session, and I would have visions of getting on a plane, flying to Utah, and busting in the windows of his house. And this is not like me. For anybody who really knows me, you know, I am very loving and very peaceful. I'm tough in terms of, you know, I see that we have a purpose here. I'm not afraid to be out front, and, you know, I'll take the hits, and that's okay. But this triggered rage. It triggered 20 years of rage of being in the marriage, 22 years of being out of the marriage and all of the continuous threats and inferences, and I'll go into that in a minute. And I'll tell you why. It wasn't just the theft of a car. It was he put a bomb in my car. He had threatened to kill my daughter. My son has been off and on with him over the last 22 years trying to heal that relationship, and with his father always telling him, you're lucky I didn't kill your mother, and, you know, always the underlying threat of death. When I was with him, he had the phones bugged, the house bugged. One time he tore the dashboard out of a car when we were separated, got my keys to my nightclub, went in and lit all the candles and put this really eerie music on. Anything to keep me unsettled, to keep me in drama.
And did you get scared?
Oh, yeah. Well, I lived in fear. I lived in fear. I lived in fear for myself and my children. And so I continued on through this for days, and of course my body started responding. All of my organs were inflamed and beginning to really respond to all this rage. The worst part of it was that we got a message, I won't go into how, that gave us an absolute heads up that there is a group that he had used. I mean, he's often said he would have this person killed and that person killed, and we know that he's had another car stolen besides mine and my son's, and there was a group that he uses for both of those things, and has told numerous people that he's having the in-house attorney for the Catholic diocese killed and his doctor in Florida killed and so on and so forth. So we're dealing with insanity here.
Really?
And which made me even more enraged. Now, I tend to do things bigger. You all know this. This is for whatever reason, and I actually today thank him for everything that's happened because it got me through a huge piece, huge piece. He can have the car. I could care less, okay? I really could care less. At this moment, I don't care. But I couldn't get out of the rage. That had me worried. And I couldn't get out of the fear. And Veronica, you and I talked at one point, and you tapped into it, and there I was concerned about speaking on the phone about it. And I actually, my son did pretty well with it. It was me that was having the problem. I think as a mother, this triggers our whole thing. He was upset only because he had come into the house, which then put me in jeopardy. So, or whoever he sent. You know, we really didn't know. But the my niece may be listening tonight, who is actually his niece. And if she is, there's your story, darling. The real core issue here was I couldn't get out of the rage. And with all I know, and also know that, you know, every experience is neutral, that we put the spin on it, that no matter what anybody intends towards us, okay, that we ultimately intend to experience only good, and I must have said that 1,000 times, but it didn't help me get out of the rage, and it didn't help me get out of the fear. And what I was fascinated by is that I was running both at the same time, fear and rage. Now, the fear was actually more dominant than the rage. And I couldn't get out of the cycle. And, I mean, here I'm doing these incredible sessions with all this love coming through, and I'm thinking, I'm screwed. I mean, if I can't move out of this, what the heck are other people going to do? And, you know, again, playing it out and more dramatically, I knew that there was something afoot. But, you know, once you're hooked into the addiction, and I kept feeling this sense of this addiction that I had lived of fear. So, now, when we divorced, and it was incredibly dramatic, he stole my car, I put a restraining order on my real estate commission so I couldn't, I'd have nothing to live on, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it was just, and I got deathly ill and had to go in the hospital. I had no money and no insurance. And they determined that I had cancer of the kidney, and I was in the hospital for a week just trying to get everything under control, because not only did I have all that, but I had ravenous infection running through my body, no surprise. And when they came in and told me that I had cancer of the kidney and it was not a good prognosis, I, at that point, thought I could call his mother, who was, you never got to him, you could only get to his mother, and put my tail between my legs and say, okay, I'll come back, I'll do whatever you want. And I thought, no, I would rather die. And so at that moment, I turned my life over and I said, okay, God, whatever you want, I'm done. I absolutely am done, whatever it takes at this point. I give up.
Hey, Jackie, did you like his mother?
Well, that's a really interesting question.
Well, the reason I ask that is you've had so much sort of strange mother experience. I'm going, is this part of it too?
I loved his mother. I won't say that I really liked her.
Hmm.
She was part of the whole problem. And I have to throw in here, my husband was an addictive gambler. When I left him, I gave him everything. We had chauffeured limo. We had 45 salespeople. We had all kinds. I gave him everything. I left with $5,500 after 20 years of marriage. Even though he had forged my name to all the properties we owned, as he was selling things off and gambling the money away, I could have sued the title company, and I knew that if I did, I'd be dead. So this was a very dramatic story. And as it turned out, 10 days after I got out of the hospital, I went back. They did another CAT scan, and all the cancer was gone. All the tumors I'd had for 10 years were gone. And it was a major miracle, and I was done. I was out of fear. I knew this was a miracle, and I knew that there was something else that I was supposed to do with my life. So I broke the cycle. I mean, it took something really dramatic to do. Now, I want you to all understand, this is not because I'm such a great creator. It's because I get smacked upside the head so hard, I really don't have a choice. I'm sorry for laughing, but I mean, you know, there's a part of me that has to laugh about all of this. And
your head's flatter on one side.
Very much so. Actually, it's right in the middle of the forehead. If I lay down, you could park a drink on it. This is, geez. So that kind of gives you an idea of how triggered I was, and the understanding from my perspective that this is feminine rage, pure and simple. Okay, suppression, repression, control, intermittent reinforcement. And this is a really big issue. I recognize, and it took this week for me to finally get to it. And that, you know, I'm going to read something to you that finally turned it around for me, because I was just beside myself. And I was really asking for help to get out of this. And just before I went to bed a couple of nights ago, this was a piece, and it is, I'm going to quote it, it is the mind that dwells in the game of what if and if only, the game of regrets and sorrows. It is the mind that entertains fear and hatred. It is the programs of the mind that keep each multidimensional star human locked in the illusion of limitations. And it stunned me. And I went immediately after reading that, I went to bed. And I kept thinking, it's the mind, it's the mind, it's the mind, it's the little mind, it's the little mind. And I went to bed, woke up the next morning. I was outside having my coffee with my puppies. And I realized I didn't have any fear. And I went, wait a minute. What happened? And the rage was gone. And I went, whoa. And suddenly, it all came flooding in. And I realized that it's a physiological addiction. And I should have known by the way my body was responding, because my adrenals were going nuts. It's an adrenaline hit. And we get addicted to fear from the time we're born. Some of us more than others. We have people that are watching scary movies that love the adrenaline hit. All of the addicted gamblers out there gamble for the adrenaline hit. I mean, I was in love with an adrenaline junkie, actually two of them now, and I could never put it together. I knew they were adrenaline junkies. I didn't understand the whole process. That addiction, I think, is worse than any substance, because it's going on within them. And the fear of loss, if you're gambling, the con men, the people that love to get away with stuff, they run the same kind of addiction. I had someone in the family who was very successful, and I never understood why he decided to do things a dishonest way when he didn't need to, but there was a hit for him, getting away with it, the thrill, the edge, the adrenaline. And so I started reviewing my own life, and I thought, okay, you know, where did this start with me? Well, I was born into it. I all the foster homes, so on and so forth. I married my mother, okay? It was very simple. It was a pattern that started in childhood, and it was the most familiar pattern I knew. Fear, drama, fear, drama, fear, drama. Now, I never got to the rage, interestingly enough, but I was addicted, I was hooked into, and that's the way to control, was the way to control me, was with fear and drama, because I learned early on that I had to submit in order to survive, and I continued that cycle all the way through. So I'm thinking about this for other humans, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. For people who get locked into fear, okay, because fear is the one thing on this planet that can't be busted. There is no being on the other side of the veil that can break fear for you. That is forbidden because it's the illusion that fear is the illusion that holds the illusion together. And the only way we can get to it is through us as humans to discover the way out. It's like a maze, and the only way you do it is on your own. It's a biggie. It's part of the rules of the game here. And I start thinking about some of the people I work with and how fear would grip them, and they would get caught up in it and continually get caught up in it no matter how much they tried to stay in the now moment and work with that, how the fear would kick in, and it sets up a physiological response. Now, with all that we're going through right now, working with rage, adrenal support is huge, and we had a session with somebody this afternoon who went to a nutritionist, and they said it would really be good if you went on adrenal support. And, you know, it was like, duh. Because I can tell you my adrenals are killing me right now.
So are you on adrenal support?
Yes, I have some downstairs, and I started taking it. Well, my whole system is just whacked. It will get better because what's happening is all the places that all the fear was locked for really my whole lifetime is dumping. And it's literally dumping. And I have other clients that have been going through physiological responses that we couldn't really pinpoint, and now I know what it is. Now I know what it is. What happens, though, is that cycle. The moment you feel the fear, the body responds, and the body wants more. It wants another hit and another hit and another hit because of the adrenaline. And this has been one of the pieces that we could never figure out. It's a physiological addiction. I was with somebody for years that I really adored, and I watched him. I knew he was an adrenaline junkie. It was the most amazing thing I had ever seen. And things could be really calm and going wonderfully, and he'd get on the phone and stir it up. And he'd get everybody going. And he had to do that. It gave him a hit. It was no different than if he'd shot up heroin. Veronica, you know people like this, don't you?
Oh, I sure do. I was just sort of thinking back on, I'm actually questioning myself about maybe I've lived a bit like that myself. Not for a while, but some years back, yeah.
Well, have you thought about how burned out you got doing it, though?
Yes, actually, yep. Thin, didn't sleep much. It seemed getting wound up was a way to get through having had no sleep, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not trusting people, of course, because you're basically afraid.
Well, of course. And every time the fear comes up, it feeds more, and you're back into the physiological response, and it just keeps feeding itself.
And you notice all the way along we're not talking about what is, like, real, a perception and a choice. It's all just reaction. It carries you for a long time.
I'm sorry?
It can carry you for a long time.
Well, the mind, the small mind can conjure very quickly. And, you know, how many people do we know that go to love scary movies? You know, I have a policy in my home. I don't allow anything scary. I don't allow the news. I don't allow war stories. You know? I go to great lengths to avoid adrenaline. Okay? Because my body can't handle it.
Well, and I noticed that the more I do that, the more I avoid it, because I'll avoid it for long periods of time, and then I'll start watching goofy things on TV. But actually what happens is I can't stand it either. It gets worse, and you can't stand it if you let yourself get out of that cycle.
Well, an interesting thing, I was dating a fellow a couple of months ago, and we went to a movie, and I did not know, I had not seen the previews. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the movie. Oh, Legend. And I had no idea that it was going to have a hugely scary element to it. I could not get those scenes out of my mind. It took 2 months, 2 months for me to get that out to where they wouldn't float in. And because I had an adrenaline response to the experience, that's how quick that addiction would kick in and bring those visions, those scenes, back into my consciousness. So I'm incredibly sensitive to that. There's healthy kinds of adrenaline where you're breaking boundaries and new barriers and new understandings. That's a little different. That's not the addictive kind of adrenaline. That's exciting and fun. And explorative, just like falling in love is. There's adrenaline, but again, it's more of a positive. It's coming in on a higher frequency. But fear, that's different. And if anything can drop our frequency right now, that's it. You know, I started looking at how much the occurrence of diabetes has gone up in the last couple of years since 9/11. And the rise in the occurrence of diabetes has gone up dramatically since 9/11 because of the constant barrage of media focused on fear. Now, how does this fit into the rage that we're trying to get to? Well, it'd be really good if you can get in touch with the rage without having to go to the fear. Obviously, mine was a little different. But it took me to a piece I've been looking for my whole life, which was, how do you get controlled by fear? How do you allow that to happen? Now, I've recognized that it can only happen if you give your power to it. That part I got. That was not a problem. But I got caught in the fear-rage cycle that I couldn't get out of, and it was just like an old addiction. I might as well have been shooting up. That's what fascinated me. Now, did I have a lifetime of it? Yeah, well, I had, you know, my mother and then my marriage, so we'll say, what, 40 years, 44 years, and then you add since my divorce, you know, I'm 60 years. But trust me, in the last 22 years, it's only kicked in a tiny bit when he'd do something to my son, not to me directly. When I found out he'd put a bomb in my car, that took me to rage.
Yeah, that might.
Not to fear, but to rage, because it was after the fact. He took the bomb out, by the way, because he was afraid my son would go out and start the car, and it would blow him up instead of me. Well, which I'm very grateful for. And
we had a bit of integrity then.
Yes. And however, okay, for all of us, fear is an illusion. It is an illusion. And I have never been more clear. Once I got there yesterday morning, I started to cry because I was so grateful for the insights that were flooding in and for the understanding how our body responds. Now, the kind of rage that comes out of fear is not the kind of rage that we're trying to heal and clear. Part of it, yeah. I won't say it's not totally. I mean, if you can get to it, great. I think that there's the kind of fear that you're not enough, that you're not lovable, that you don't count, that you'll disappear. You know, you and I have talked about this, Veronica.
Right.
We see this with a lot of young people now, that in order to be noticed, to find some form of fame, that they will, you know, strike out. They don't care even if they die as long as they've had their moment of fame. And then today I had, I think, my ultimate epiphany because I went to walk the dogs. They have their little stroller. And it was very windy this morning, and I started walking, and I stopped to take a drink of water, and this horrendous desert winds are always, you know, interesting anyway. And all of a sudden, the wind stopped dead, and all the traffic was gone. And I looked up at the mountains in front of me, and for a moment, a few moments, I literally knew it was like being on a Hollywood back lot. And I was the director, and I was the producer, and everything I was looking at was a prop. And the only thing that was real were my emotions, my responses. Everything else was a prop. And it was so real, it was so palpable for me. And I just went, wow. And I held on to the imprint of that experience as long as I could. Because it was so incredible. It was such a total knowing. It went through every cell of my body. And that's the truth. That's the truth for all of us. That everything we see, we know this. Theoretically, we know it. I am incredibly grateful for the experience of being there for a few moments. Of absolutely knowing. And then the moment I came out of it, the wind came back up and the traffic started again, and I thought, wow, maybe I just shifted dimension for a moment.
A little freeze frame.
Huh?
Freeze frame.
It was phenomenal. And I went about my walk. It didn't matter how windy it was or anything else, and I thought, this is the most exciting moment to absolutely know everything's a prop. And I can go back to that moment. I hope you will all be able to hold some piece of this because, you know, I know the team is sitting right here, and they're going to come in and talk with all of you. But this is big stuff. And Veronica, do you ever run fear? I mean, what brings up fear?
Oh, I used to be the most afraid person. I used to say I'm the most courageous fraidy cat I ever met. I was afraid of everything. I don't think I am now, but I agree. You know, I don't quite know where to go with your question. But I really agree that we're held in kind of a suspension because of that intrinsic fear as a species, you know?
In 1995, I want to say, I had a spontaneous experience in a group meditation right down the street from where I am right now, five houses away. We were meditating on something totally different, and boom, I'm in the cosmos, and couldn't tell you who all was there, but we created a hologram of Earth. And we were deciding what was going to, the whole thing about human consciousness, what was going to hold it all together, what was going to make it real. And then there was fear, and fear was the one piece that couldn't be changed. It was the glue that held it. I mean, I actually thought it was the most incredible experience. And I came out of that meditation and I just went, you know, I had to tell everybody, I'm like, oh my God. And there it was. And I've been looking for it ever since then. I've been looking for how do we get hooked in. You know, I look at these women that get hooked into abusive relationships. And men. I mean, it's not just women. It's everybody. You know, children that are held in fear. Whole societies that are held in fear. And, you know, even right now, the Dalai Lama and all of the monks that are finally saying, enough, enough. I mean, they did it with peace, and now they're saying, we're not going to let the fear hold us. Some of them are dying. I really believe that this is an effort right now to start busting out of fear. And, I mean, this is the last piece. Are we still working on rage? Oh, yes. There's no question about it.
So you're talking about the liberation of our entire species through that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That is what I'm talking about. Because once we can get there, there's no stopping us. We're home. I mean, I have to tell you, we're home free. I mean, I hate to sound melodramatic, but I am. I don't think I've ever been so excited about the understanding of realizing, of being able to recognize physiological responses to things and know that you're entering into that addictive space. And every time you start to feel fear, stopping yourself, knowing that I'm going to have, in fact, even talking about it, I can feel my adrenals going. So every time you start to enter it, paying attention to your body, how's your body responding? And making a choice to go back to the now moment, go back into your heart. Back into your heart. Because this stuff will kill you. I mean, I have to be really honest about this. This will kill you. Fear will kill you a lot faster than whatever you fear. It will eat your body up. Are you thinking, Veronica?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of all the physiological stuff and the suppression and the repression and the heart and the brains. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, things like Alzheimer's and stuff and how the brain gets deteriorated by it all. Yeah, I'm thinking it does kill us. It also keeps us enslaved, I believe.
Totally enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
Totally enslaved.
So where did it come from, Jackie?
Where did what come from?
The fear.
Well, that's a really good question. I don't have an answer to that. You know, was it supposed to be this hard, and was there, you know, I don't know.
Has it been just a training ground of us learning to,
yes,
to survive so that we're trying to move out of that?
Well, you know, Dolores Cannon said it very, very well, and, you know, the guys have been saying it to her, which is, we came here to experience limitations and emotions. Okay?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Now, which emotions are real and which aren't? Which control us and which don't? Jealousy, envy, rage control us. Fear controls us. Love expands us. Gratitude expands us. Compassion expands us. Those are the expansive emotions. The contracting emotions are the others. Jealousy, envy, and rage can completely destroy you. That's one of the reasons that people are so terrified of experiencing and feeling their rage. They're afraid it'll destroy them.
But not feeling it is more destructive because it's
oh
there.
Oh, my God. If you could talk to the cells of my body, they'd be sure to share with you how.
Well, I'm sure a lot of us have really been triggered to release rage, and I guess you're right, it does go right. I'm thinking that it actually does go right with fear all the time, doesn't it?
It's tied in. I'm still looking at, you know, I believe me, I'm still putting all the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
But I got enough of it to be able to say, wow. You know, some of us are afraid of illness. Our bodies are getting old, dying, loss of money, not having enough money. What's going on? You know, what's happening with the future? Now we're dealing with the economy. You know, homes going down, price of gas going up. you know, everywhere you look, there's a reason to feel fear if that's where you choose to go.
Sometimes it's faster than a choice, though, isn't it?
Say it again.
Sometimes people can feel that so much faster than sitting and making a choice.
But the moment you feel it, mm-hmm. you can change it. As long as you don't run it so long that you get hooked into the addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because the frequencies of that addiction will drop your resonance and you're stuck. That's what was so frustrating to me, is that I would find myself, I picked my son up Sunday from work because he had no car, and on the way we were going to go eat dinner, and on the way I'm swearing like I'm on the back of a Harley. And I said, Ricky, I don't know where this is coming from. I mean, it's like so deep inside of me. And it felt terrible that I was absolutely so enraged, I couldn't get it out. I couldn't let it go. And this is where vengeance comes from. You know, this is what causes wars, is being so enraged that you want somebody to pay. And trust me.
You were ready for the war there, were you?
Oh, was I ready for the... I may be short, but I am not a good person to ever take to that point. And I think I've only really lost my temper a couple of times in my whole life. But not a good plan. Not a good plan. And I fear nothing when I'm there. When I'm there, I really don't fear anything. I mean, I don't care who you are. I saw a man being abusive to a woman in a casino once, and I almost knocked him out. And he was a big man. And I was going in for a meeting with some executive there, and I just spun around, grabbed him by the shirt, and almost knocked him out. Made him apologize to the woman.
And did he?
Oh, yes.
He was scared. You brought up his fear.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's not acceptable. You don't demean people. Okay, I'm going to let the team come in. I really said what I needed to say, and I'm, you know, really curious to see what they have to say, and you know, if anything. But so let me take a minute here.
Goodbye, Jackie.
All right.
Welcome.
Right. Well, you've heard the ranting and raving of the channel now. And we know that she's excited about our discoveries, and they are bigger than she realizes yet. There'll be more. And Veronica, you'll get insights as well, and many of you listening out there, you'll start running these ideas by yourself and start thinking about your lives, how fear has controlled you, whether it's parents, siblings, husbands and wives, bosses, society, your own bodies. And we want to stay with that for a moment, your bodies. This is a piece we're going to give her, right? For many of you, when you perceive yourself to be experiencing any kind of illness, your fear response to the illness sets up a chemical response in the brain. And the body will then respond to that chemical response and literally create a mountain out of a molehill. That's how powerful your brain is. Likewise, when you decide you have a pain or this or that in the body, and you choose, not through your little mind, through your heart, through your choice, through your will, you work with the cells of your body, you decide through the power of choice. This is not some catastrophic whatever. The chemicals then go into the cells. And remember, people, your cells are a universe, each and every one. Those aren't just words. Those aren't just words. You can change your health that quickly, that easily. Now, it's hard for some of you to really grasp that. We understand. But if the adrenaline is running and the fear response is there, you can get hooked into that cycle and the body will get sick, really sick. Now, this is the reason that people have healed through humor.
Like that.
Different chemicals in the brain, which then speak to the cells and create different responses in the cells. Cancer. Let's talk about cancer for a minute. Cancer is anger, unexpressed anger in the body. In the body. For many of you, this is very important for you to get. The importance of getting to your anger and your rage. Now, we don't recommend that you go off willy-nilly screaming at anybody and everybody because they make you angry. We do recommend, though, that you learn how to deal with it. Why am I angry? Did something happen? Am I dealing with injustice or unfairness? Or yes, you can get to how did I create this? Of course you can. Taking responsibility and looking at the entire situation, ultimately that's the highest goal. You are the creator of your experience. As the channel said, you're the director, the producer, you're all of it. All of it. And the emotions are real. The emotions stay. Through the entire, and we'll use your word here, Veronica, cellular journey. Many of you already know that you've gone and had past life readings and things and wondered about why you had this ailment or that, and some of you have discovered that it came from this past lifetime or that. Some of you even have scars in places where you've had injuries from other lifetimes. physiological injuries, but emotionally based. There's an emotion around it. This injury killed me. That's emotion.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fear. If you're the director and the producer of your movie, what do you really have to fear? Veronica?
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to... I think you have to fear your... Not, you don't have to, but I think we tend to fear that immediate reaction. You know what I mean? It's like...
What
we apply it to things.
What?
We apply it to things very, very fast.
All right, that's part of the collective.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about your group agreement?
Yes, that would do. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you've assigned fear to specific things on your planet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, don't stand in front of a moving bus, you know, don't put your hand in fire, that kind of stuff, right?
Some of that's practical.
Yes, it is. We don't recommend that you do any of those things. And, of course, you have the questions about, well, wait a minute, what happened to so-and-so? That wasn't their fault. Somebody attacked them. If your resonance is high enough, you're not going to match frequency with that person. They won't see you. They'll turn down a different street. You won't encounter them. Does that make sense?
It sure does. We're unfortunately going to get to a position where we'll have to leave, so maybe I would really love it if you would teach us how to bring the love frequency or give us a message of love.
How much time do we have?
We have about 5 minutes.
Oh, all right. All right. So what we would like to do, thank you, Veronica, for letting us know.
Okay.
We would like to spend this last 5 minutes being intimate with you and anchoring in some of what was brought up tonight. Lighting a flame in all of you. The end of fear. We can't do it for you, but we can light the flame. The desire, the choice. And as we move in, for only for those who are willing, we will not come into those. If you don't want us to come in and be intimate, please just put up your hand and say, no, thank you. We won't be offended. But we want to love you, to surround you in total love, and to touch you. Just let go for a moment. Suspend your thoughts. And open your heart. Allow us to touch your heart. To fill it with peace. And a love beyond love. Beyond your human love. And to touch you. You see, we love you. We honor you. We encourage you. We support you. You're so close, everyone. And you're doing a hell of a job. You're going to make it. And every one of you are important. Nobody's measuring who did what. You're all important. And you don't know it yet, but to each other, to all of those listening tonight, you're important to each other.
Mm.
You're connected through a web of love, a web of commitment, a web of change, of discovery, of freedom. Tonight we ignite a flame in you, in your heart, a desire to break free of fear, to heal and transmute the rage, freedom. Your pioneers, all of you. Let it in. You're all more than enough. And the mind will kick in and say, well, I haven't done that. Doesn't matter. You don't know how much light you're anchoring. Your intentionality, your desire. You're doing it. And we love you. We support you. We encourage you. Remember that flame whenever you start to feel fear. Think of it as a pilot light, ever burning. Touch your heart, we'll be there.
Wonderful.
We love you all, dear one.
And we love you. Thank you so much.
Dear Veronica, we love you.
And you.
Are we out of time, dear?
Yes, we're out of time.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
We love you all. We ask for tonight, if you want, when you go to bed tonight, call us in. Just say, team, would you work with me tonight? That's all you need to say. We'll be there.
Wonderful.
Namaste.
Namaste. How wonderful, and we will see you all next Thursday night on ET Healing. And I'll talk to you at Radiance by Design Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and Paradigm Shifter, Louisa Williams, a wonderful, wonderful naturopath, at 5 o'clock next week. And as Jackie will always say, a piece of me is in every one of you, and a piece of you is in Veronica and I, or in this case, Jackie and I. It can be no other way. Good night and many blessings.